World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Doesn't happen very often. Maybe riding in the back seat, turning the car over to somebody else. You know, the driver's seat is the power position in the car, and I trusted Steve Deck enough to turn the power position over to him. But I'm still watching at the same time. That, you know, don't miss rental car 223. Ready? We're heading to the airport here, wearing my Randy Lunsford shirt, so I don't get transmitted all types of bugs and viruses on the airport. Dale Soja waiting in the wings to take over the mantle here this morning. I want to just do a real reflection before we have to jump on the plane and get skyward. What a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Wasn't a weekend, was it? Yeah, it was. What a wonderful time we've had. Reflecting on a lot of things. Did some reminiscing yesterday with Michelle and I were Steve Deck. We drove down to Bay St. Louis and I went late on the beach for a little bit. Yeah, I drank a Jamocha shake at Arby's, wherever the heck that was. We did an amazing thing. We stopped and visited with Professor Toto, although we didn't get to him. He wasn't home. But we met his father-in-law. He said, who's Professor Toto? We've got about 125,000 subscribers on the internet. What's his name?
Shane Vaughn.
I had a phone conversation with him. We're going to get him on our show. We're going to try to cross-pollinate. Listen, I wish I could give you this. Maybe I can. If I hit this button, if I change pictures here, can you guys still see me? No? Okay, well, just bear with me a second, okay? Because I want to share with you a message that I got from my dear friend, Coach Mark Collier, this morning. And Mark's up. Played football for me. First quarterback I ever had as a head football coach. Godly man. Well, he's going to get married here in a couple weeks, actually. And he sent this to me. And Randy and all of you out there who are warriors and fight and understand everything, I don't know if I've seen anything more apropos for what we do than this, okay? I'd put it up on the screen if I can. I don't know how to do it. But just bear with me here this morning. Mark said the Lord gave him this word. Now, what does that mean when people get word? I don't know. What does it mean? I sometimes think we get in trouble. Anyway, there's the airport. We're going to get there. Here's what Coach Collier said to me today. Text me. The Lord says, you are my index finger. Not the middle finger. The pointing finger. You point where to go. In the midst of the battle, when the trumpet sound is not clear, you're like a Civil War general pointing the troops and filling the lines where holes can be easily seen by the enemy. Just like Marines and the first ones in, you are always the first boots on the ground. Amen, Randy. You point at the problem. And then you say, follow me. You are at the end of the powerful right hand of God. But he needs fingers to do the intricate details.
In a quarter mile, turn right.
The intricate work. Yes, you flip off Satan continually. But you don't do it from a distance. As you're walking away, you point your finger in his face. Is that what we do, boys and girls? Is that ever it?
Is that
Amen.
Randy Lunsford? Is that what we do? And as you know, that's why it's amazing that when we go, we do these things. There aren't a million people there. There are not a million people there. Why? Because as I've said to you over and over, you guys have missed it. See?
What?
You've missed the return.
No, we didn't. We follow every side.
Okay.
Car return. There it is, car return.
Okay, I'm sorry. Listen, we have got, I know you guys, aren't frustrated by that. This thing is not about numbers. We are a SWAT team. We are fire starters. We are first guys on the beach.
Budget.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to direct and talk. And these guys are screwing up my anointing. Maybe it's my fault.
Rather, leave the wheel alone, coach.
All right. Yeah, I will. Right. Did I say budget? Yeah. So that's what we do, guys and girls. That's what we do. And I got so many, not so many. That's a little bit of a lie. But I got several emails and communications from people that said, you know what they said? They said, I can't believe your team. That's what they said. I can't believe your team. These are unbelievable salt of the earth warriors. I can't believe your team. And I started thinking about that, reflecting on how far some of you guys came and how far some of you returned and how much money it cost you to come. The night that you put into a hotel, the money you might put into food. It wasn't that it didn't cost you something. You got some skin in the game. And I want you all to know, not only am I proud of you, but the Lord is too. If the Lord was here, all of you, it cost you something to get here. All of you, Joe, who kept that chat room open. All of you who prayed. All of you who donated. The Lord would say to you, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because as one of the guys who called me said, Coach, I looked around there and he said, these are just common men. You got a bunch of just common men. And it was the Holy Spirit, I think it was the Holy Spirit, said to me, check the disciples. They were just common men. They weren't highly trained seminary graduates. They were just fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were salt of the earth people. And what's going on in America today, if America is to be saved, and who knows whether it will be, but if America is to be saved, it isn't going to be, the Lord said, you're screaming at Jesse Duplantis and Joel Osteen. He said, those guys aren't going to do it. They're not going to do it. It's not their call. My frustration continues to raise because I want more guys. We need more guys. We're going to win this thing. We need more troops. We need more foot soldiers. And we're not getting them. I said, Lord, Billy Franklin Graham's got all those soldiers. The Lord said, those aren't soldiers. Those aren't soldiers. Why do you want those guys? They're not soldiers. There's a unique call upon us. There's a unique call upon what we do. Was it you, Randy? Said it's our tribe. We got a tribe. We're a battalion. We're a platoon. I'm not a military guy, but isn't that what battalions were? Weren't there different aspects of the war, different aspects of the army? Weren't there supply guys and weren't there Air Force? And I mean, I wasn't in, but I think there was. So we have to stay in our lane, understand what our responsibility is, understand that we are the salt of the earth, understand that all men are going to hate us. Maybe they're not going to hate everybody. They're going to hate us. Why? That's the promise. We're the finger pointers. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And Randy, when we walk away, I say Randy because he's popping up here on my screen. Thus saith the Lord. And when we finish one of our tasks, when we show up from all across America, I don't even know how many states were there.
But when we show up from all across America, we point our fingers and say, there it is. There's the hole. Right there's the hole in the lines. There's the gap. There's the gap. And Joe Allen runs and fills it. And Craig Mickle runs and stands in that gap. And wherever it is, we run and we stand in that gap. We've done our job with a finger pointer. We started the fire. And then what do? We do the old Arnold. We do the old Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'll be back. We're just getting started in this thing, boys and girls. And I couldn't be any more proud of you. See, somebody else said to me, Coach, what a remarkable team you have. I don't have any team. I ain't got no team. Lord's entrusted whatever it is we're doing here, whatever it is you've bought into, whatever it is that would make Rochelle, her dad drove her all the way over here, whatever would make Myra, Bobby Lee, Paul Webb, I'm going to forget a million people. And, Brenda from Minnesota, Jane and Ray from Wisconsin. I could go on and on and on. The people who came great, this Jeff Nell, who missed his plane yesterday. At great inconvenience and great expense, came. He proved himself worthy. The Lord knows he can count on us. I just want to encourage you. I got to jump out of my car, and I'm going to keep listening. But I'll be walking through the airport. I'll be losing. I'm turning it over to Dale and his, what a wonderful man Dale Socha and his family is, and the church and the support that we received. And if you're out there, we need you. Remember I told the story a couple weeks ago about the donkey? The Lord hath need of you. Folks, the Lord hath need of you. I don't care who you are, how small you think you are, how little you think it matters. There's another event this weekend, Bobby Lee's having one in Pennsylvania. It's up on the screen, or maybe Bobby can come in and talk about it. It's a tactical training. Chad Estes comes from Texas and brings people with him. Betty Perkins comes and testifies outside the abortion clinic. Hey, the Lord hath need of you. Lord hath need of you. We're the finger pointing crew. That's who we are. Thus saith the Lord. I can't thank you guys enough. But listen, neither can the Lord. He's proud of you this morning. God bless you. Come on in, Dale. Take over, brother. Bless all of you.
Amen. Listen, I just want to pick up right where Coach has left off. I understand Coach and I's relationship was birthed way back when. So all you're getting right now is going to be a better, younger, better looking version of Coach. That's all it is. So he's laughing about that right now. And Coach, please don't be singing Jesus Take the Wheel while somebody else is driving the car. But I need to point this out to Coach because it's been 5 years in the making. You see this visor? Coach, it needs a cross. Coach, it needs a cross. I've been asked, Coach knows I'm a visor man, not a hat man. I need a visor with a cross on it. So here we go, folks. We got the opportunity to pray in the room and to send people off. And, you know, I told my church, you know, Steve Deck was asking me last night, he goes, well, Dale, how big is your church? He goes, your church is about the size of my church, right? And I said, he goes, how big is your church? I said, it's about 30. Maybe 40 on a good Sunday. And of course we count children. And he goes, mine's about 100, 150. And I said, no, that this is about where we sit at. And I said, you know, and so when Coach even talking about the donkey, I was talking about that a few weeks ago, and I looked at the church and everything that was going on and what was about to come down. And I looked at my congregation and I said, who the heck are we? Who the heck are we? I said, why is this little church tucked in the nook way out in Boutte, Louisiana, that we're going to have people like Coach come in and speak? We're going to have people like Rusty Thomas and Flip Benham and Dan Fisher and John Diamond. I said, who the heck are we? I said, and I told him even before I heard Coach talking about this, so I know it's the Spirit of the Lord speaking. He said, you're the donkey. He said, you're the donkey. I said, who? Okay. I'm the donkey. I'm the donkey that carries Jesus, that the only thing that the crowd sees is maybe the ears of the donkey, but they see Jesus. And I said, there's no better thing, because nobody said, you know, they were praising Jesus. That's all we need, to lead people unto Christ. And I said, but someday I'm going to go back to that stable, and I'm going to tell them other donkeys in the stable who had their shot, who didn't do anything. I'm going to say, you have no idea who rode on my back today. I want to tell you, so many donkeys, so many opportunities have the donkeys have the opportunity to carry Jesus, and yet they'd rather stay in the stable. Listen to what I'm saying. The relationship of the church, stay in the stable, right? And chew on their hay, because I'm going somewhere. This, as Coach would say, they would rather stay there, do their little thing, right? Go back to the stable, eat their hay. You know, those who've been in the military, and I have four of my brothers were in the military, and two of them started off as 82nd Airborne Rangers in 1991. You know, you go to boot camp and they teach you how to fire guns. They teach you all the exercises. They break you down. They discipline you. You climb ropes. You go through tunnels. You do all these things. But in the words of Bruce Lee, boards don't hit back. All that training, all that shooting at still targets is nothing compared to when you're looking down the barrel. And that's what my brothers told me when they were airborne, dropped into Iraq during Desert Storm. They say there, it's a total different game when you're looking down the barrel and you're facing your enemy. You understand what I'm saying? What happened this weekend when we called out and said, all right, who's never been to the abortion clinic? And brought the hands that went up. And I said, you know what? Coaches, that calls up boot camps around America. Boot camps are wonderful. And what's going on with Bobby Lee in Pennsylvania? Those are great boot camps, folks. But until you engage and you look down the barrel and you face your enemy, you've not engaged in the battle. And this weekend, what it was an opportunity. It was an opportunity to engage the battle. What is the battle? The battle is for the souls of men. The battle is things like the abortion clinic. Come on, things of the political realm, the commissioners, the school boards. When you do that, you'll know that you're in the battle, because your enemy will bark back at you. Come on, you understand? Like your enemy in a war, they shoot back at you. They bark back at you. But remember this. They go around as a roaring lion, like a roaring lion, but they're not a roaring lion because they've been detoothed. They've been defanged. The only thing that they can do is just maul, maul, maul. They're like with no teeth. And so that's what it is. And so, brother, this battle is real. Now, I want to give you I thank Coach for this opportunity. I wasn't sure how I wanted to do it yesterday. When the event ended, some of you came to say goodbye to me, and I seemed distracted. And many of you, and it's like you were probably looking in hazed eyes, and understand this, I apologize. But I want to tell you something. One thing I know about things like these events, when you stick your finger in the enemy's eye, you had better be ready for retaliation. People, this is not my first rodeo. And so the moment that the event happened, or finished, I should say, that night, it ended that very night. The moment it ended, you know, most people, you get done with an event, it's like a vacation. You go, you know, and you just calm and rest. Instantly, the attack was on me and my family and my church. Instantly, that very moment, I haven't even left the church. And I had to go from putting on my, I don't know how to say it, the hat of hospitality to the hat of pastoralship that instantly. And so I had to deal with things that were going on, because you think, oh, your church is wonderful. No, listen, our church has people in it. People have problems. And I instantly had to go into a pastoral mode. And I did not have a moment to even breathe. And so when you come out of something like this, and all of a sudden you might get back home, or you might miss your flight, and you might all of a sudden the water begins to get stirred. I think about Ohio Brett and the testimony that he shared the first time he went to the abortion clinic, and the letter he wrote, the text message he read that night as the event was closing, it blew me away. And I said, that's spot on. So Revelations chapter 12, what does it say? It says, you shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, and loving not your life, even so to not shrink back from death. So this is the deal. Testimony, it's kind of like I say politics. Politics is a two-part word. Poly, meaning many. Ticks are blood-sucking critters, man. That's politics. Those are politicians. The word testimony, I learned it this way. Some of you met one of my elder's wife. Her name is Elodie at the church. Do you know that she had stage 4 breast cancer? Cancer was in through her lymph nodes back in the early 2000s. Do you realize she's still alive today? And the testimony that her husband has about rebuking what the doctors told her, they pretty much wrote her off. And here she is. She's still there. She was serving you guys. And she says, Dale, a testimony is this. First, you got to go through a test. And then you go through a bunch of moanies, right? And then when it's all finished, you have a testimony. Amen? So I want to give this opportunity to real quick, open it up. I got a couple more things that I want to go to in scripture here. Because pastors have the gift of gab and I can just talk on through. But I want to hear some testimonies. And Spence, I can't see the hands. So I'm going to ask your help. You call out the preach. So don't just jump in here and we have 10 people talking at the same time. Sounds like tongues. Let Spence, he'll say, all right, this one. So I want to hear some testimonies of what happened this week. Something this week. I'm not talking about what happened a year ago. I'm talking about the past few days that just really moved on your heart. So Spence, go ahead and call him in.
Good morning, Saints. This was my first time going to an abortion clinic, and I'm so grateful to the Lord for the opportunity. Dale, you and your wife and your family are an example of what a Christian family, where every single member of the family saved, ought to be. It's just, you lead by example. That's all I can say. And I want to thank you and your wife and your lovely family for the hospitality. I'm just so very grateful. And
hey, Myra, I don't mean to cut you off, thank you. I appreciate that, Myra. No, I want to hear, and I do appreciate that. And listen, it's hard work, and it's a sacrifice for a Christian family home. But what did the Lord do to you at that abortion clinic? What did you see? Because if it's your first time out there, there's no doubt your heart pounded, right? Right? Your heart pounded. I mean, I'm telling you, what is it that the Lord, man, what did you see? What did the Lord tell you? What did you experience? What was going on inside of you? That's what I want to hear. So go ahead and finish, Myra, before we go to the next person.
There is much work to be done. We're on work. That's what I felt.
Amen.
Thank you.
I just want to throw some history at you, and I've been involved with OSA and Operation Rescue back when Randall Terry was involved with it. And when you newbies show up, you need to listen to the elders of the movement, that they have gone through the fires and they have wisdom and knowledge that you don't have as a newbie. And so we were always instructed that if the press came up to you, you don't talk to them, because your emotions will get the best of you and they'll get a clip to make the news that night. Whereas the experienced people like Flip and now Dale, with his experience, they can handle the press and know what to say, so that we come off as strong Christians, but not radicals to the point where we turn off those who were trying to come out with us. And I'm up in age and my health is not good. So you see the mantle is being passed to the younger people. And that's what we need. We need fresh blood to carry on. That's all.
Amen. Listen, I want to respond to that, because my involvement, and I'm talking at the abortion clinic, not just, oh, I'm calling my legislator, began in 1995. So do the math. You know, what's that? 31, 29, 30 years, whatever. I don't know what it is. And it's very key that, you know, taking the lead from people who are experienced. Now, to this day, I won't talk to the news. I always turn them, and I instructed that always, you know, if you're new at this, never engage in the news, turn it over to the news. I won't talk to them. Let me tell you why. To me, that's a forked devil tongue, and that's just me. I don't like talking to them because they twist everything you say. It's the same thing Satan did to Eve in the garden, and I despise speaking to a serpent's ear. And that's just something, that's me. And as seasoned as I am, I don't need that in me to feel that I need to I need to get my message. I need to get in front of the cameras. In all of my years with Flip Benham and Rusty Thomas and Jason Storms, Matt Truwilla, I never speak to the press. Next person.
Hey, good morning, Dale. Dale, you look fantastic. It's amazing that you actually had an operation just before. But
yeah, I needed a facelift.
You got it, brother. Hey, listen, foundation, that's what it's all about. Anytime you hear about a good man or woman doing something, they had a strong foundation to work from. So that's what we got. That's what we got.
Amen, Vinny. I wish you could have came down here. I've seen the pictures of your brother. It'd have been nice seeing. And it, to me, it was nice, you know, as a pastor, as a homeschooler, as a coach, as a pro-life activist, you know, that I stay busy, so I don't get to go to all these things. I do. I met some of you all at the Georgia Guidestones. I met y'all, some of y'all, a couple years up in Ohio at one of the events going through the Columbus, Ohio, right through the pits of hell. Matter of fact, that's where I met Mark Trump face to face. It was a blessing to meet some of you, or down hurricane relief. Like, that's where I met Randy Lunsford, and our spirits connected immediately right there. So let's have some more testimony. It was a blessing to see people face to face and to shake a hand or hug a neck and just see one another when we're seeing a person's windows to their soul, their eyes, and just speaking one another. Let's have a couple more testimonies in here, because I do got a couple more passages of scriptures I do want to go to. We'll go to Randy. We'll come back to Jeff.
Dale, I'll be short. I'll tell you what you just said was what I was going to say, how you and I connected when we met. We knew witness this. It's a spiritual witness, folks. I witnessed so many people. I think everybody down there, but you connect in the spirit. See, this is what the kingdom of God is, folks. It's a connection. It's more than the natural. Yeah, we have a few things that we agree with, and we like each other, but it isn't just that. It's a spiritual connection, and that's what you are. When you get on the team of God, that's what you feel. That's what you sense, and that's what I want to encourage everyone to get involved as much as you can, because that connection is what will carry you through the tough times, the hard times that you need it. We need connection. We need relationship. Amen.
Amen. Randy, let me share this real quick while it's on my head, because sometimes I get the memory of a goldfish. It's about 6 seconds if I don't say what I'm about to say. You know, Randy, you've had the opportunity to pray on Hillary Clinton's gates. You had the opportunity to lay hands on Bill Barr. And I guess the question that I would put out there, you know, I'm not taken away from conferences, you know, and I know that there's some great men of God. They got their degrees in theological studies, and they've, you know, and you go to that conference and you go, wow, this man, just a wealth of information. You know, I get that. But here's my question. You know, there's some, we got generals today. They're unknown. They go to college, because in order to be an officer, you have to go through college, and none of them, If you were asked me if I had the opportunity to meet Douglas MacArthur or General Douglas MacArthur or McInerney face to face, which one would you want to meet? I'd want to meet Douglas MacArthur. You know why? He led his troops in battle, Think about that. So listen what I'm about to tell you. Do you know that Tony Spell slaughtered Matt Terwilla's name at the podium out in front of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals? Nothing wrong with that, but Tony never has ever met Matt Terwilla, never has ever talked to Matt Terwilla. And I'm probably going to go up to Tony's church this Sunday, and we got to continue to pray. This is important stuff, and when we close, we want to make sure, and if I forget, make sure that we go back to lift up Tony Spell. But Matt Terwilla, okay, many of you have never even heard of the name Bill Shanks. Bill Shanks was the MC guy, the older guy. He was at the church. He's been arrested over 30-something times, not because he didn't open his church, but because he went to the gates of hell. He's been arrested, laying his life down in front of the gates of hell. He has rebuked judges in their courtroom. And most people, even in this queue, like, I don't know who he is. This guy's been doing it for over 40 years. Then there's people like Flip Benham, right? You want to go back to the early days of Operation Save America, Randall Terry? He was only there a couple of years. Flip Benham carried that mantle for over a decade. And then Rusty Thomas. And we kind of know who Rusty is and the mantle he carried. These people are Douglas MacArthurs in the faith of God. And you guys had the opportunity to hear Matt Terwilla, Flip Benham, Rusty Thomas, Coach, Bill Shanks, Tony Spell, now promoted in that. And then of course, Chief Justice Roy Moore, and of course, Alan Keyes. You can't make that kind of a lineup. Y'all remember when there was a basketball game and we were in the Olympics? Do you remember there was a team that had Michael Jordan and all these guys on it? No, that's the only name I remember right off. And it was called the what? The Dream Team. This was the Dream Team that went forward. Pastor Bill Dunphy. I mean, these guys are generals. And you guys came to New Orleans. And you know, it's kind of like put myself in a ranking. I know these guys, but, you know, you're in there and you might be a private. It's like I just came out of boot camp. And, man, next thing I know, I'm looking down the enemy at an abortion clinic and witchcraft and baby slaughter unto Molech. Brother, let me tell you what. What an honor to rub shoulders with some of these men. Spencer, go to the next person.
Hey, good morning. I'm thankful. Thankful for our team and thankful for a great coach. And Dale, going down to the abortion clinic, I guess what hits me the most is this abortion clinic here was in the middle of, a neighborhood where people are living right down the street. There's people right inside these houses fellowshipping, watching TV, praying, and right down the street, this abortion clinic's there. And it's if you haven't been to one, you see a young person going in there that's been blessed with a miracle, an opportunity to be a leader and a mother. And they walk in here, and then there's no screaming going on. There's silent screams happening inside. They kill a baby. And then you get to see a broken individual that just committed the worst atrocity of their life walk out of there broken. And then just to witness that and know what just happened inside that building and then what that person's got to overcome and live with. And if they don't find Jesus, then their entire life is destroyed from that point forward. And the last thing is just how evil can happen silently right down the street from people, like the Jews being killed in the gas chambers and people just go about their lives. That's what blew me away, Dale.
Amen. Hey, Spence, I feel like I'm at Coach, man. I feel like I'm all over the place. I still got these passages of scripture. I want to share this real quick while I'm doing this, Spence. I want you to search the sound of abortion. And it's like 2 minutes and 50 seconds long. Now, here's my question. I shared this at lunch the other day. There was only a handful of people there, but I think I need to share it again. Okay. So if God is omnipresent, in other words, his presence is everywhere and omnipotent and he knows everything. We could sit here and I can ask the question, and it's a rhetorical question because we already know the answer. Does God know everything? Is God kept secret from anything? Does God know everything? He sees all, he knows all. So we say that God knows all. Star breathing, put in the galaxies. There's nothing that God is going, oh, I never thought about that. I wasn't aware of this. If you have a pen or a pencil, write it down. If you don't, cut your finger, write it in blood, because I think don't do that. But you need to hear this. This is from Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter. Don't got to go there, Spence. I want you to be on that video right there just a second. In the 32nd chapter, so 32, right? In verse 33, this is why Israel went into bondage. And it says, they turned their back to me and not their face, even though I've taught them. You see this? You were taught this in church and teaching again and again. Then they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't receive instruction. You see all that teaching in church and you don't take it to the battlefield, it's worthless. But they have put their detestable things in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. They have built their high places of Baal. They are in the valley of Ben-Hinoim. Now, Ben-Hinoim is Caesarea Philippi. Ben-Hinoim, Old Testament, Caesarea Philippi. New Testament, they believe this is where the demonic and everything would come out. And this is where Jesus took his disciples to Caesarea Philippi to make this declaration out of Matthew chapter 5. Upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. He brought them there at that location for that very specific reason, that those are the gates of hell. Now watch this, verse 35. They built their places of Baal in the valley of Ben-Hinoim to cause their sons and daughters to pass through the fire to Moloch, which, listen, I have not commanded, nor has it even entered my mind, this abomination. In other words, God says, man can be so, so wicked. And God knows of the wickedness of man. But he said, when you do this, when you slaughter the babies, when you murder them, God says, that is so wicked, it's never even entered my mind. Abortion, murder, it's not abortion, it's murder, is the crown jewel in Satan's eye. Why? Because man is made in the image of God, and Satan hates everything that God has created. And it's so wicked, folks, you better understand something, that this universe God says, I've never even thought of something, and I know plagues. Now, Spence is about to play you something, and it's sound. You got to listen to this. And it is a comparison of a BB hitting a trash can lid, and it deals with people lost in war, lost in battle. And then the last one is abortion. So I just want you to play this, Spence. It's 2 minutes and 57 seconds long. Go ahead. The sound's going to come on.
Right where you are, I just want you to, right there in your seats, just shut your eyes. What you're about to hear are the sounds of metal BBs striking the side of a tin can. For every BB that strikes, it represents 10,000 lives lost in the wars of America's past. 10,000 lives for every BB.
Now pause this for a second.
Is the
pause. For one BB, will represent 10,000 lives. Go ahead, Spence.
Reality of what is occurring in your country. The American Revolution. The Civil War. World War One. World War Two. the Korean conflict, the conflict in Vietnam, September 11th and the War on Terror. Since 1973, the War on the Unborn Child. God help us.
Whoa. 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 Church. No words to say. We think that this is, that's just America. If we went for the world, because it's a world issue, do you realize that right there was the sound of maybe 65 million. But in the world since that, it's been over 1 billion. 1 billion. You don't think that the world is ripe for God to come and relinquish the rod of correction and judgment? You think about the wars that you heard and then this? I want to tell you something. God is, I mean, his mercies are new in every morning, but I want to tell you something. Eventually, those mercies, he's going to say enough already. In Genesis, it says this, that when Cain slew Abel and God comes to question Cain, he says, where's your brother? And he says, am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, his blood, one person, his blood crieth out to me, the voice of his blood. You just heard them BBs hitting at 10,000 per BB. And let me tell you what, that blood is crying out to God. Do you realize when, if you've never been in a room where one baby begins to cry and then two babies begin to cry and then three babies begin to cry, let me tell you what, it causes a distraction in the room. I don't care if you got 50 people in the room, you got three babies crying, it'll break your conversation and go, somebody get these picture all of those babies crying unto heaven. It's got God's attention, don't you think? Amen. Spence, let's go back in. I know we got about 20 minutes left. I still got a couple more passages of scripture to go to, but I want to hear some more testimony this week of this,
Dale,
what happened this week.
Dale.
Yeah, Roger.
Hello. And I don't know if this is totally tied to this week, but if Roe versus Wade is overturned, and there seems to be a general feeling that it's moving in that direction, the whole abortion argument then will be kicked back to the individual states. Is that generally what most people think right now?
Yeah, it's a disdain for me, Roger. You're an attorney, so you understand that. I'm a firm believer. First off, courts don't make laws, so I say ignore Roe versus Wade. But to answer that question, yes. And in that, I don't know if you were setting me up for a rhetorical question, because what happens when states set in these laws, you know, heartbeat or this and that, anything that has a clause and then you can kill the baby, and that gets kicked back to the states, guess what remains now legal in your state? Go ahead, Raj.
Well, no, that was just kind of my curiosity, because I think many people, I think Roe versus Wade is probably moving in the direction of pro-life, but I think the individual states then where we live are going to determine. So you're going to have, you know, abortion allowed in the state of New York, but it might not be allowed in Alabama, let's say, or whatever. And there's still going to be a flourishing of abortions across the country, which will probably be more of a local concept, I would assume.
It's a good assumption. It's a legal assumption, but here's the deal, Raj. As long as I've been in, I love you, brother. I wish you could have came down. I really do. The problem is, and I've heard this, trust me, they sound like parrots. And this was always the thing. All we need is one more Supreme Court, because when we were bringing personhood, they said, it's not now, not the time, not the right time, because we need another Supreme Court justice. You got six of them now. You got a supermajority. Where are the pro-lives driving at this thing? Why isn't this thing in front of the Supreme Court now? Because all this thing has been, Roger, unfortunately, for most of the pro-life movement, it has been a kowtow money machine. That's what it's been. People can disagree with me, and that's okay. I won't hate you, and I won't break fellowship with you. But, brother, I look at Roe versus Wade. Courts do not make laws. And matter of fact, even when a law is made and it breaks organic law, violates constitutional law, it's still no law. Remember, Stalin and Hitler, what they did it all according to the book of law. And so when Hitler was ordering for the mass concentration camps, according to their law, it was legal. You know, that's, well, it's the law of the land. No, it's not. But anyway, you're absolutely right, Roger. So here's the problem. Here's the quagmire you have if Roe versus Wade and that penumbra is overturned, because it was a penumbra. It's a big word. I don't use it too often. That caused Roe versus Wade. They mystically looked into our Constitution and somehow found that, oh, this is what our framing fathers were talking about for abortion. And if it gets kicked back to the states, then all of these states who have made all of these stupid laws allowing these little nuggets and everything, then what you got is a quagmire at the state level, and abortion remains legal. I like what happens over in Texas. I like what Mark Harrington is doing in Ohio, making sanctuary cities. Let's use their own toolbox tools and go after them. Go ahead, Spence, give me another person.
Dale, amen, brother. Hey, you know, I was just thinking as you're talking about the Douglas MacArthurs and the generals, over the years of just hanging in the streets with Rusty and Flip, is always testimonies afterwards. Yeah, I know you agree with me. You come home and you're like, oh my goodness. But when you're out there in the battle and just adrenaline flowing, and then you get these little things along the way while you're out there. I mean, we witnessed to many of people, Pastor Bill, Tom, and me. We had them. Just, we could go on and on and on, but the one that sticks in my mind, two guys outside the hotel Monday night at midnight, two workers were living in that hotel, Moose and Cody. And man, me and Tom Branstall sit out there with them. Cody's got an 8-year-old boy now. When he was two, he was molested and caught the guy doing it to his son in the act. His life was rocked. He was in a church at the time. He's fled. He's angry. Tom and I got to lay hands on them two men at midnight in that pavilion outside. And you look back over the years of the stories. One time Rusty stopped on a porch. We were marching to that doctor's house, I think in New York. The whole parade, the 200 people marched down the street. Pastor Bill looked back to where Rusty go. He was up on the porch on one knee, cowboy hat off, praying with somebody. We're like, oh, we got to wait. We can't leave him back there. But that's what they teach you. Along the way, the things you run into, the people that lives are upside down. If you can, Dale, real quick, share that story you have shared before, the woman at the abortion clinic and 18 years later. If you could do that one quick.
Yeah, I will. But let me put it to you this way. The bayou is always a great fishing place. Let me say what I'm saying here. What Jeff is talking about, what happened at the hotel right there by the church. Here, coat. People, don't miss this. You might be on your way to the abortion clinic, but you might have ministry along the way. You always are fishing for men. It doesn't matter where you're at. You always have a cane pole. There's always a fishing hole. And that leads me into this testimony real quick. Back in 2000 and, oh my goodness, it had to have been early 2000s. I was the general manager / district manager of Papa John's Pizza. That's where I worked at. And I opened them up and yada, yada, yada. And And let me tell you what, you know what Papa John's to me, you know what a job is to me? A job is nothing but a vehicle for ministry. No matter what I do, I'm always, it's about ministry. Now I do construction. So when I'm in a person's home, it's about ministry. And so in Papa John's, I led in 1 year, I was sharing this, in 1 year, I led 17 young people to the Lord in my store. And I want to tell you something, the liberty that I had, I set national sales records. I set state sales records to this day that still stand in Papa John's. I've done commercials with John Schneider and Papa John's for winning awards and trips to Hawaii, just crazy stuff. But I had this young girl who worked for me and she knew me and I knew her. She's a beautiful girl, but she was tough. And Bill Shanks called me up one day and said, Brother Dale, I got a church coming out to the abortion clinic because I normally would go out on Saturdays. He'd come out on Fridays. Sometimes I'd come out on Fridays, whatever. And he said, listen, I need you to be out there to greet them and introduce them. And I said, okay, not a problem. So I'm going fast because I want to get back to more people talking. So I go out there and all of a sudden I'm standing there and I'm just pleading with a woman there. And all of a sudden this girl comes out of the abortion clinic. And I looked and I was like, oh my goodness. I said, I know this girl. She works for me. Her name, I don't want to say her name. So she comes over to me and she knew who I was and she knew what I stood. Not because she comes to the abortion clinic every week, it's because she worked for me. That's what she knew. She knew who I was. She knew that I would be there. And she said, she went on and tell me, it says, it's not her, it's her sister. And I knew her sister, younger sister. And so, yeah, they're tough family, hard time or whatever, right? And I said, well, here, give this information to your sister. And I couldn't tell you the words I used. This was 21 years ago. And I gave her the gospel and I just pleaded with her to tell her sister to come out, right? Well, it wasn't shortly thereafter that this girl, you know, moved on. Papa John's is a stepping stone for many teenagers, right? 18 years later, and I shared this on the show a couple years ago, 18 years later, I get this Facebook message from this girl, Amy, who I haven't seen in 18 years. And she goes on to begin to tell me about this day at the abortion clinic and that you were there and because you were there, I came out and I talked to you and it's been troubling me all of these years and I just didn't know how to reach out to you and I just wanted to thank you. She goes, I just need to tell you, I lied to you that day. It wasn't my sister. It was me. And because it was you at the clinic, you were gentle with me. You weren't judging me. You ministered to me. And she sent a picture of her son, his graduation picture. Fine young man. She goes, my pride and joy of this day is my son. And I want to let you know because of that. You understand that was 18 years later. Sometimes you don't see the fruit, right? If she never sent me that message, I'd have never thought about that encounter ever again. I want to tell you something. That thing is stapled in my heart, you know, because of standing. But it wasn't, this is what I'm saying, is what Jeff did. He was fishing on the way to the mill. I'm a Christian, whether I'm at work or whether I'm in the pulpit. So many people put on their little Christian face when they go to church. And when they come off, they put that thing in the closet and they're no longer Christians the rest of the week. Folks, whatever you're doing, it's about the gospel. Go ahead, Spence.
Hey, good morning, team. Yeah, well, this was an experience. I'm still taking it all in. One thing that I really found encouraging was that there were 10 abortion clinics in that area. And since the churches have been showing up, they're down to one. So that's really good. This is the number one issue in God's eyes. This is why our country is falling. Coach told us that we looked evil in the eye that day, but I got to tell y'all something. They look just like us. They look just like us on the outside. They are so deceived. Well, some of them probably really are evil, but for the most part, these people have just been misinformed and they just don't know another way. But these events will make you stronger and you really see where the battle is. Thank you, everyone.
Amen, Rochelle. Once again, it's going from the boot camp to the enemy's camp and taking back that which they have stolen from us. You understand what I'm saying? What a wonderful victory. Because when we show up with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, let me tell you what, even the enemies will bow at our feet. And man, what victory. What victory. Go ahead, Spence.
Good morning. Good morning again. Thank you, Pastor Dale, for everything. Before I say anything else, that abortion clinic, the Lord gave me a word that it would go down. But because it was going to go down, there was going to be so many other things that were going to rise up. And this is why. We're fighting a war, and we keep saying that, but Christians aren't understanding the war that we're fighting. Just using that abortion clinic alone, that's not my first visit. I work with children, and I work with survivors, and I work with many other facets of this ministry because they're all entwined. We're fighting a war against Lucifer, and the people who choose to fight on the side of the Lord cannot sit on the sidelines. There was a young lady there. It had been her first time, and she was in tears, so it was emotional. She needs to go back. She needs to go in different areas. We have to disrupt the demand of the flow of blood of the innocents, because if you disrupt the flow of blood and the slaughter, it makes it difficult for Lucifer to work.
Amen. That is his source right there.
Exactly. And this is what I keep trying to tell people. You know, I had, like you all know, I work with priests. I've worked with priests in exorcism. I've worked with priests and many different religious groups. But they have been programmed and have told people it's a calling to this ministry to fight evil on this level. No, it's not. It's for all of us. We are fight. When we were born and we were baptized, we're fighting a war from the first moment we take a breath. Let me use just this abortion clinic as it might blow some people's minds, but I just want to use it as an example of their tactics. They are tactful. They know they're fighting a war. They know they're fighting a war, and it's on a spiritual battle as well as a physical plane. I don't think anybody there, maybe you do, Pastor Dale, but we had layers of bindings on their end already before we were driving up. There were people that were circling in cars that I don't think anybody realized they were protecting that abortion clinic. My husband knows this. That's why he was way in the background and he was sending me cues, and I would leave because we were praying against that. You go in the opposite direction, you start breaking down those layers. You think that gentleman that came out with the birds sign was just a neighbor that wanted to protect? No.
Amen.
People got to start learning this stuff. So during and after, I'm sorry to keep rambling on, but I'm just trying to explain the level that we are fighting, and they know it. Christians better start learning it.
It's a deep and wide level. And here's another thing, just by your presence, those people driving by, let me tell you else who was driving by. Women who were on the fringes, let me tell you what, our presence, when you bring the presence of God to that place, it brings forth, in Corinthians, it says this: do you not know that you are the fragrance of God? To some, the sweet aroma of fellowship, and to others, we are the stench of death. In other words, when our presence comes, just our presence there, do you know that from Planned Parenthood statistics themselves, they say 25% of the women, if we're out there, will drive by, they're convicted, and they won't come in. We don't understand these stories, but this is... it's bigger than us. This whole layout is bigger. Now, I got 1 minute. I want to read this because everything that took place, everything that we were doing and great victories and everything, we don't live in the rearview mirror, right? Listen to this. This is Leviticus chapter 6. This is the role of the priests. This is the role of priests. And anybody who lives up north and has a fire pit understands this because I grew up with it. It says, and then what is the priest? The priest is to put on his linen robe, put on his undergarments, and he shall take up, listen, the ashes to which the fire reduces the burnt offerings on the altar and place them beside the altar. And then he shall take off his garment and put on other garments and carry the ashes outside of the camp. Let me tell you what, yesterday's fire that we were burning and stoking is ashes now. You can't fan a flame out of that. Yesterday's victories, you need new fresh fuel for today. New fresh fire. You need, this is the day. This is the task at hand. This is the battle at hand. You can't live in past. Those are great victories to remember. But when D-Day happened and they dropped the gates, they didn't just fight one day. They continued to fight.
Amen.
God bless you all. Press on, press in, and press hold, and take hold of that which is taking hold of you first. In Jesus' name, have a great day.
Amen.